Okay, now my presentation is very different, actually. So, but what I'm going to be talking about is research I did regarding local public health department services and their impact or their relationship to mortality disparities, because that's my area of research. So the study I'm presenting covers a period from 1993 to 2005. It was at the beginning of that period, 1991, in fact, when the Healthy People 2000 came out. Oh, and I have no disclosures, by the way. Not getting getting rich on this study. But it was the beginning of that period when Healthy People 2000 came out in 1991, when we first started talking about setting goals for reducing health disparities. But we've not made much progress since then, and I talked about that a little bit yesterday in a session I was in. And a study by Jennifer Orsi and others in AJPH that came out recently found that there was some narrowing of these black-white disparities over the last 15 years from 1990 to 2005 on about half of the 15 health status indicators that they examined. But on about five of these indicators, we were in fact widening disparities. And when she drilled down and around looking at Chicago in particular, we were widening disparities on many other indicators, not just those five. So during this same period, public health systems, and I'm going to be talking about local public health in particular, had experienced dramatic shifts in funding and in the focus of our services. So we've had many changes in service since then, including a trend toward more population-level services versus sort of more individually focused direct service delivery. But meanwhile, there's been little impact or evidence of the impact of service changes on population health. We really don't know what that has meant specifically for reducing health disparities. So therefore, we don't really know that we're adapting our public health practice toward activities which really do reduce and ideally eliminate disparities. So my interest is really looking at that. So given this lack of evidence, our research question, funded by a grant from the Pfizer Scholars Grant in Public Health, was our local health department services associated with reductions in black-white mortality disparities. So I used a time trend ecologic study design, and our data sources were around local health department services. If you're familiar with the NACHO, the National Association of County City Health Officials, they have a profile survey that they've been conducting regularly now of local health departments. And I used the profile survey from 1993 and the one from 2005. There was only one in between that period, one other one, 1997, but those data weren't, that survey was very different. The data weren't very comparable. Now they're doing it on a more regular basis since 2008. But I also used data from the U.S. Census, CDC Wonder, Area Resource File, which provides data on local, on health resources in an area, and RUCA codes, or for rural versus urban measurements. And our outcome variables were absolute and age-adjusted mortality changes between 2005 and 1993. So how did those change over time? And looking at that for blacks, for whites, and then the black-white gap. And that was for total population and for 15 to 44-year-olds. So by this gap, we mean the mortality gap, or the disparity between the absolute differences. And hold on, I'm going to explain that a little further in a moment. Our independent variables were really what I called our domains of service. And using the profile survey, I was able to create these 10 domains that you see here using the 1993 and 2005 profiles, and was able to compare these and create these domains and have comparable services. So these domains included as many as seven types of activities, I'm calling them. So two to seven types of activities made up each domain. And the services we included were those services provided directly by the health department, so not contracted out or provided by someone else. And they had to be comparable across years. So we had to leave out some activities that weren't necessarily comparable across 93 and 2005. Now, immunizations you don't see on this list, and that's because this was sort of our 11th domain, but ultimately it wasn't included in the larger analyses because nearly everyone performed this service between in 1993 and 2005, so there was very little variability. And here's our regression model. As we conducted our descriptive, we conducted descriptive analyses, of course, but ultimately we ran regression models using these sets of variables. So this slide graphically shows what went into that model. We clustered by state, and we included mostly time variant variables. So you see our covariates were mostly time change. We could look at change over time and control for that along with our dependent variable. And we modeled all of these service domains together. There were a couple of variables that weren't time variant, and that was around geography, things like that, that don't change very easily. And our covariates included things like, so for change in community characteristics, I used this variable from Stephanie Roberts, who created this composite variable that she called the social disadvantage index, which combined percent of the population in that county on public assistance, percent below the median household income, percent unemployed, and combined them. And then I looked at change in that social disadvantage index over time, also change in black population, change in percent of population with a education greater than high school. Then in terms of change in local health resources outside of the health department or in addition to the health department, we looked at MDs per capita, change in MDs per capita in that county, and nurses per capita. We looked at other local health department characteristics that have been shown to have a relationship to outcomes, and that's, has that health department ever had a board of health during that period, change in number of FTEs. And if you know these data very well, you know how to better get FTEs from 1993, because there were a lot of missing variables, but we did some statistical kind of hocus pocus and estimated those. Not really. It was quite on the up and up, but we estimated those missing variables and then included geography as well. So our sample was 558 based mostly counties throughout the nationally, and we call them common local areas because they all weren't all counties, and I'll talk about that. Well, they were mostly counties, 90% of them, just under 90% were counties, but then there some health departments aren't a county, they're at a city level, so we rolled those up to a county level and multiple health departments. Some are multi-counties, so we had to look then at aggregating other data at a multi-county level. And then there are 2% of our sample was this sort of miscellaneous other types of common local areas that we sort of created some regional units. So 66% of our sample of these counties, mostly counties, were urban. They were tended to be a more disadvantaged population than the nation as a whole. They were higher than average national averages on percent black in that population, percent of families on public assistance, lower than the national average on greater than a high school diploma. Our sample also overrepresented the South in the U.S., so kind of heavy in the South, heavy in urban areas, and that's how our sample of counties ended up looking when you're really looking at mortality disparities for blacks and whites, et cetera. So looking at the mortality as it existed in that population of counties, it was normally distributed, and higher mortality, we always tended to have higher mortality for blacks than for whites, greater mortality than in the country as a whole, and declining rates, however, for both races. So in this slide, as an example, for this 15 to 44-year-old age group, we had average mortality rates and the gap for the sample. So this slide gives you a visual example of what I'm talking about in terms of the gap that we measured. So while we looked at mortality change for blacks and mortality change for whites, we also looked at the difference. So the difference in 93, the difference in 2005, and then the change in that gap over time. So that was our main outcome variable. We also examined the breadth of these service domains as a categorical variable, where we looked at change in the breadth of service or in maintaining the, whether departments maintained that service over time, that breadth of service, whether they increased the breadth of that service or decreased the breadth of that service. So this slide shows you that immunizations, for example, look at that, very little change over time. So we threw that one out. But the green and blue bars here represent a change in the service, so decreased breadth for the green bar, increased breadth for the blue bar. And you see here that the biggest green bars, those with lots of decreasing going on, are in maternal child health, in health services, in environmental health, and our other activities. And then where you see a lot of increasing going on, that tended to be in epi and surveillance, population-based prevention, assessment and planning, you know, teaching, that's the sort of our population level kind of activities, right? So that had face validity. In examining the extent of the difference in these changes in service over time, and using breadth of service as a continuous variable, we tested for, you know, did they change significantly? Were those changes significant? And they were, those decreases and increases were significant for, as you see here, for maternal child health and those sort of more intensive services were significantly decreasing over time, and the others were significantly increasing. So our regression finding, kind of at a higher level, when we ran these regression models, let me give you an overview of those findings. We examined these 10 service domains, and not including immunizations, and only three were technically significant. Many domains did not show any significant relationship to reducing that mortality gap over time, so over this period from 1993 to 2005. So in terms of the relationships to mortality disparities and service domains, there were increases in the breadth of maternal child health. Now remember, that was family planning, prenatal care, et cetera, had a somewhat weakly significant beneficial relationship to reductions in black-white mortality disparities. And this is in the 15 to 44-year-old age group. So regarding MCH, in this slide, you'll see, think of it in terms of there were 10.5 less deaths per 100,000 in that age group could be attributed to or were accounted for in this model by a greater breadth of MCH services. All right? So to put this into context, remember the previous slide of the mortality change overall, there were 99, there was a decrease of the gap, of the mortality gap. Disparity was minus 99 per 100,000. So maybe 10 of those in this model could conceivably be attributed to these services. So increases in the breadth of other activities, and remember that was things like emergency medical services, animal control, school health. Now, I don't really know how animal control fits into this. That's kind of interesting. Someone else can run with that. But increases in the breadth of those other activities also had a significantly beneficial relationship with reductions in these mortality disparities or this gap. And the breadth of health services also really approached significance, so I put that up here as well in terms of reducing this gap. And screening, interestingly, screening services, the breadth of screening services was the only domain which significantly was associated with increasing breadth of increasing mortality gap. So think about that for a moment. So what about the significant changes in these other activities are what we often called in our study was our miscellaneous, you know, pot of services. We didn't go too deeply into specific analysis of this domain, but we did look at these items and what kind of appeared to be driving this effect. You know, what about animal control? But we looked at these items, and you'll see these last four in this bulleted list were significantly different between the two survey years. So, you know, part of me thinks it's a school health has a relationship here. But we didn't go too deeply into that. So regarding MCH, our findings, the MCH activity really jumped out at me here, and I've done some further analyses around those MCH items in particular, and I'm working on a paper on that. But that supports other findings for WIC for example, as WIC having this relationship in improving black-white mortality disparities. And that's in the recent literature. Also, we're thinking that comprehensive preventive services provided for women and children might be serving as markers of broader community care and support for childhood development in a county, for example. And many of these services, these MCH services, you know, these are bread and butter local public health department services that have existed for a long, long time. They probably existed well before 1993, in my baseline years of the study. So they might have occurred well before that, and those children got the benefit of those services and then showed up in the that period of time, 1993 to 2005, in terms of mortality. So these are also important, show kind of the importance of intensive preventive services for marginalized populations. There's often a lot of targeting of services to specific populations here. And prevention in early childhood also is really closer in that causal pathway for showing change in mortality disparity. So it's likely to show up here more quickly than some of these other services. In terms of health services and MCH and maybe these other services, these are all more intensive preventive targeted services for marginalized populations. So I think perhaps this is saying something about the targeting of services in particular that health departments tend to do. Although this other services one is a little bit of a mystery to me, and I'm not sure how some of that targets directly reducing disparities, for example, animal control. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. I don't think it plays into that too much. But anyway, screening, my thought about screening is that increases in breadth of services were actually occurring in response to increases in disparities. Because we don't really know the direction of the causation here. It could be that there was an increasing rates of disparities to which people were adding increasing types of screening services. At the time in the early 90s, we were doing more breast and cervical cancer screening and things like that in response to increases in disparities. Also, these population-based services, you know, they're harder to detect in terms of related outcomes. The trajectory of impacting mortality disparities is probably much further out than the years studied in this study, and there are perhaps more mediating factors that are harder to account for. And note that these findings are age-specific. They're really around this 15 to 44-year-old age group, which is kind of interesting, in as much as that's often the groups local health departments tend to be serving. Now, there are some study limitations around this. This breadth of service variable is kind of limiting. It really doesn't say that much about how much service or the quality of service or the type or the reach. And I should mention that Jean mentioned briefly this study I'm just getting started right now. It's called FAST, Public Health Activities and Services Tracking. And we're going to be tracking these changes in services over time in a much more nuanced level around some of those volume of services and reach and type, and looking at that over time and really trying to get at, in particular, the health outcomes of the budget cuts and changes to local health department services. And some of my colleagues in this room are part of that 11-state study. But in conclusion, to me what this says is that there are certain direct services that do appear to particularly impact black-white mortality disparities in a positive way. And this gives me pause as we really change and really impact a lot of our services right now. That as we make shifts in direct service and as we cut a lot of some of these services, that we do that with caution. That we need to determine what is the mechanism that is occurring there that has this relationship to reducing that gap in disparities, and assure that that mechanism exists no matter how they are delivered. And as we make sweeping or hasty cuts to services that negatively may impact our populations, that we are monitoring and addressing and assuring that does not happen disproportionately does not impact certain populations. So this longitudinal monitoring needs to occur that we're launching right now. So NACHO's operational definition of a health department says that this is our job. This is our job to reduce health disparities and to contribute to this type of evidence. So I think it's important that we continue to articulate and examine our practice as we look at how these practices impact health outcomes. And I contend that it's our job as a public health community of researchers, and for many of us our public health nurses in this room, to assure that our research efforts answer these tough practice-based questions, and our public health practices are making the positive impact that we intend them to, that we're not increasing disparities perhaps inadvertently along the way, and that our resources are being used to their fullest to create equitably healthy environments and eliminate disparities. Thank you.